Buongiorno, everybody, and Happy New Year, and welcome to this little recap about the resistance and some anecdotes that my friend Alessandro told us last month. But before starting, I would like to remind you that if you want to, you can email me to participate to a live chat on the 4th of February to talk in Italian or even in English and to introduce ourselves. My email is maiawewe@yahoo.it. maiaueyuyue@yahoo.it. So let's start saying that I will just recap something that Alessandro told us, but I believe that you already know what is the resistance. It has been a long period from the 8th of the September 1943 till the liberation on the 25th of April 1945. Italy was basically divided into two parts, the north and the south. In the south, there was the king, and the Allies had day after day taken control of the southern part of Italy, while in the northern part, Mussolini in Salò tried to resist, and there were also the Nazis. The German Nazis, and in the territory of Emilia Romagna, and in particular Reggio Emilia, a lot of bad things happened, a lot of battles and massacres that Nazis and fascists did even towards civilians. So Alessandro told us that his part of a historical reenactment group, a sort of acting company that take part to celebration of the 25th of April, but also in some other periods of the year, and they, with the right costumes and clothes of that period, they act and they make everybody remember about battles or little episodes of the resistance in Reggio Emilia, that is the city from which I'm speaking. And for Alessandro, but also for many people that were born in Reggio Emilia, the resistance and the remembering of the resistance is a value, is something very important. And Alessandro said also that maybe in the next 20, 30 years, the city has a little bit lost its connotation related to the resistance. Sometimes the accent is on the fact that Reggio Emilia is the city of the tricolore, of the flag, of the Italian flag. In fact, if you come in Reggio Emilia, you can see it, the real first Italian flag in the town hall. But Alessandro told us also about his uncle, or better, his great uncle that was a partisan and that was the captain of a great brigade, and he was very important in this town. He was also a person that after the war believed and understood that saving the environment was the new resistance. And so he was always committed, even after the war. But after the war, he was committed in planting trees or speaking against pollution and so on. At that time, he was captain of a SAP that in Italian was the Brigate SAP, that meant Squadra di Azione Patriottica, Patriotic Action Squad, and every of that group made actions to help the Allies to come in to the north of Italy. And we also said about the fact that still we have people who have a sort of nostalgia of fascism, or that they still believe that fascism was not that ugly. And in Alessandro's opinion, and I believe that it is so, is that we have a dichotomy in our country that maybe can also have other countries like Chile or Spain, in which there have been dictatorship, and in which maybe someone is still connected to that period, and maybe their families still identify with fascism differently from Germany, for instance. That is a country that has dealt with the past, with this ugly past of Nazism. In Italy, maybe we didn't. We didn't deal with our past, and someone maybe has still a sort, as I said before, of nostalgia for that period. But luckily, these are little groups of people, not the majority of population. Anyway, turning back to Parri d'Alegri, that was Alessandro's great uncle, he and a lot of other people in their daily life made a lot of acts of civil disobedience and battles and so on. Alessandro told us about one day in which Parri's group needed money because there were a lot of people in the mountains fighting against the Germans and fascists. And so they needed food, they needed money, they needed weapons. And so they went to a local farmer that was very rich and that had livestock. And the fun fact is that this company still is in Reggio nowadays. And they asked him a sort of tax, but not only him. They asked to a lot of rich people to give money. But this person didn't want to give this money, and he went away from the mountain and went to Reggio Emilia, where obviously partisan couldn't go. But after one or two times that they didn't find him, they stole all the pigs, all the livestock, and this farmer understood that he had to give that money. So he gave three times the amount of money that the partisan group had asked. And the funny thing is that after the war, they became a friend. And this farmer also helped in the post-war period to poor people and to all the people that had lost their homes, their houses, their livestock. He was very generous, and together with Parri helped a lot of people. And this is a very beautiful story. Another thing that I didn't know actually was that at that time partisans went to steal wheels of Parmigiano from the cheese factories because they used it to sell it or also to eat it. And it was a sort of bank robbery. And the soldiers of the German army often were around the cheese factory to protect them because it was like a bank. And I also didn't know that still today the Parmigiano factories sometimes give as a warranty their stock of wheels of Parmigiano as a warranty to the banks, so that this is really a gold product. But these are episodes of the everyday life, but the story that we still remember and that we celebrate, not only Reggio Emilia, but everybody that knows something about the Second World War knows about the Fratelli Cervi, the Cervi brothers, that were all killed together at the end of December of the 1943, if I don't mistake the date. And this was a family from Gattatico, a little town near Reggio Emilia, that were anti-fascist, all the family. And they were killed by the fascists as a reprisal that during the war, when if the partisans killed, for instance, a fascist or a German soldier, the Nazi fascist killed 10 times people. So for one German, they killed 10 Italians. But also the fascist from Salò did the same. So it was really a tragedy, because the mother and the father lost all their male children all at once. And that from that time, we have a lot of streets named after the Fratelli Cervi, because they were really heroes. In fact, they came from an anti-fascist family that has produced, how to say, a sort of tradition that we still have, especially in Emilia-Romagna. And it is the pasta asciuttata, we call it, anti-fascist. Because when on the 25th of July 1943 Mussolini went away, a lot of people believed that the war will have ended. And they decided to offer to all the little town pasta to celebrate that Mussolini went away and that the war would have finished. But it was, unfortunately, it wasn't right, because the war went on for other 2.5 years. And after the war, in the post-war period, they started to commemorate this day of anti-fascism with this lunch, all the people together, to make the statement that fascism is not a good thing. And in this little town, Gattatico, we have a museum that is called Casa Cervi, Cervi House, that is indeed the old house of this family, in which there is an historical museum about the resistance, the war, and a lot of cultural events and historical events are organized in that museum. So especially on the 25th of April and also on the 25th of July, you always can find people there. And I believe that it is a beautiful way to keep the memory of these people, not only the Cervi brothers, but the hundred of people that fought against the fascism and that unfortunately died. So if you come in Emilia Romagna and you are around Reggio Emilia, maybe going to Museo Cervi is a beautiful thing for people who likes history and who wants to see something beautiful. In general, in Italy, on the 25th of April, we always celebrate the liberation, okay? And it's a day of anti-fascism. Sometimes I believe that politicians just use this topic just for their voting campaign. I don't know how much they are really interested in keeping this memory alive. And sometimes other kind of politics use this nostalgia that some little groups have about fascism for their voting campaigns. And this is not a very beautiful thing. Anyway, maybe we will talk about Italian politics one of these days. I am thinking about having a live chat about politics. Maybe I could invite Alessandro, that is expert about politics. In fact, he has a degree in politics. But coming back to our topic, a very bad and sad and ugly episode of the resistance was the Strage della Bettola, we say in Italian, that means massacre of the Bettola. The Bettola was a dive, or was a little restaurant in which there were normal people, civilians, that were having dinner. And near that place, there was an attack that partisans organized against the German army, and they killed a lot of German soldiers, but one escaped. And when the chiefs of the German army knew that a lot of soldiers were dead, were killed, they organized another reprisal, And they killed all the people that were in the restaurant. They were all civilians that had no idea of what had happened outside that place. They killed everybody. They set the dive on fire, and only a little girl escaped and saved herself. And after the war, this girl has become a witness of this massacre. Still now, we have streets that we call Strada, Martiri della Bettola, martyrs, because all these civilians were killed. And you can find also a movie that is called La Rugiada di San Giovanni that tells about this particular event. And also our band, Modena City Ramblers, that is an Italian band, created a song called L'ultima superstite that tells about the story. If you find La Rugiada di San Giovanni, it is a movie that we also use inside the schools to let the students, the new generation, know about all these bad things about the war. Then another attack that Alessandro told about was the attack to Villa Rossi, where there was a headquarter of the German army. In this headquarter, obviously, there were the German officials, and a lot of people, together with partisans, made this attack. And there was one of the most important battles of the resistance in this territory. And there was also an English, or more likely a Scottish soldier, that played the bagpipe. And this was a thing that the English army believed was a good thing, a sort of psychological war, because when the English army went towards the battle, they always had someone playing the bagpipe. So they believed that German army could believe that there was also the English army, but it wasn't so. But unfortunately, the bagpipe was broken by a bullet, and the soldier could not play anymore. But this was a great battle in which this headquarter was destroyed. It was a great step towards the liberation of this territory. Anyway, this is just a drop in the great sea of all the things that have happened in all northern Italy, and not only in northern Italy, during the Second World War, because resistance has been something really huge. A lot of people participated, people of every political part, from communist people to priests or democratics, libertarian, and so on. And in this specific case of the attack of to Villa Rossi, Alessandro told us that there was also part of Russian partisans. I don't know exactly how did they arrive in Italy, but there was also some fighters from Russia that wanted to fight against the Nazi fascism. Anyway, I believe that we really have to talk about politics in Italy, because as I said before, still someone use this part of Italian history for his own personal career in politics. And so maybe we will talk about that with Alessandro. It could be interesting if you want. Anyway, I believe that having acting companies that reenact some of these episodes is a really important thing for the memory of all the people, of Italian people. And if you come in Italy, you could also see a lot of reenactment, not only related to this period. We have also actors that in the streets reenact episodes of the medieval time or of the Roman time. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing for people who loves history, and also to remember our past, because there is no future without remembering our past, the good past, but also the ugly past, because also the mistakes that a state, that people can do, have their meaning to understand what is the best way to have a democratic, to have a wonderful country. We are far from having a wonderful country, but now we are an anti-fascist country, and this is written and stated into our constitution that is an anti-fascist constitution. So, if you want, email me and I will invite you to our live chat of the 4th of February. And I hope you have enjoyed these little stories. So, have a nice day and see you soon.